You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. I'm John and I'm hosting a mid-season review of the SWPL wins ahead of their return this weekend. And I'm delighted to be joined by returning regular Vinny. Vinny, long time no speak, how are you?
Thanks for having me on, John. Again, it's been a wee while since we've chatted SWPL, but delighted to be here and looking forward to having two guests with us as well this evening.
Yeah, and two very good guests. I think she's an honorary member of the SFF podcast team now. Eva Murray, Eva, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks again for having me back. I'm looking forward to another really good discussion. I'm well, and lots for us to talk about, so it should be a good hour or so.
Yeah, well, there's been lots that have happened since we last spoke, Eva. We spoke at the beginning of December before the Scotland-England game. We'll try not to dwell on that too much. And by coincidence, we managed to get a Celtic fan on, making his SFF podcast debut, contributor to a Celtic State of Mind podcast, Jerry Taylor. Jerry, how are you? Thanks for coming on.
I'm good, John. Thanks for getting me on. No problem at all. Sorry if my lighting's a bit dodgy here. But we've been having to improvise tonight.
Not at all. Are you going for the your boss Paul John Dykes' hairstyle here?
No, it does look like it. It looks like it has lighting as well. I've got that kind of corpse look about me right now. That kind of pale look. I'm needing a haircut.
Listen, Jerry. Obviously, it's an audio only podcast. But so don't worry about it.
Oh, I had my jammies on.
You're saying corpse looking. As soon as I saw you, I was like Colin Farrell looking. just to give the listeners an idea of what we're being treated to this evening.
The lighting must be a lot better than I thought then. There we go. Didn't even need it on, that's it.
From a corpse to Colin Farrell, who'd have thought it on this podcast? Right, so we'll dive right into it. So the SWPL had a break and clubs returned for Scottish Cup action the weekend. And as we reconvene the new season, we'll start with Glasgow City because they're obviously defending champions, but they're sitting third at the moment. But the defensive title is not looking great. They're 8 points behind, having drawn two games. One was Rangers, isn't a bad result by any stretch of imagination, but they also drew with Hearts and have also lost to both the Celtic and Rangers. Eva, I'll come to you first, ladies first and all that. Do you see, is this now becoming a two-horse race, or is there hope that Glasgow City to come back into this title race?
I think they've had a mixed bag of results. You talked about them there, but I think, you know, towards the end of the season, we think we saw them, you know, find their stride a little bit more, pick themselves up, get themselves together. You know, we've seen Fiona Brown's now signed for City. She's back to where she kind of started. And I think, you know, we saw how close everything ended last season and how quickly things could change. So I don't think we can ever kind of rule City out. But like you say, it's not looking good at present. But they'll be wanting to get a result in the upcoming match and then hopefully prove themselves. Well, they'll be hoping to prove themselves against Celtic, I think, on the 28th. So that'll be the big marker for them and whether they can beat Celtic or get a draw or whatever it may be. But yeah, I think we can rule them out at this point, to be honest, though.
Yeah, Vinny, I'll come to you in this next one. I mean, as Eva says, they've made a good signing in Fiona Brown, who's still almost a regular on the Scotland national team just now. You know, she's still playing at a high level. She's had that experience playing out in Sweden and recovered from some horrendous injuries as well. So I think that's a good sign. But I think where Glasgow City are struggling, I mean, they've only conceded 10 goals, which is only two more than Rangers and one less than Celtic. But they've only scored 44, and they're a good bit behind Celtic and Rangers in the goal difference stakes, and that could come crucial come the end. You know, what's your thoughts on where City are at just now? I mean, and how crucial is that upcoming game against Celtic in terms of title aspirations? Is that a must-win or title's gone?
Yeah, I think when we did a mid-season review last year, like we I think maybe had we ruled out Celtic at this point and whatnot, and then obviously we saw what happened, and Eva's absolutely right. Things can change really, really quickly. And, you know, as we know, it went down to the last few seconds of the season last year. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, Eva. You can't rule them out at all. I think there's probably still maybe question marks over Leanne as a manager. You know, undoubtedly a good coach and whatnot. John, I know you've got some reservations about her having that dual role with the national team as well. And, you know, does that limit her in both senses? So I think they did essentially go for the cheaper option in terms of looking for a manager. And, you know, nothing against Leanne Ross, because I think actually she could be very good. And, you know, if they win the title, then it's paid off. But yeah, it'll be an interesting few weeks, like you said, Eva. That game against Celtic coming up soon—that's going to be crucial, absolutely crucial.
And Jerry, from your point of view, obviously Celtic are playing City soon, and Celtic did beat City very easily in the cup, as well as beating them 2-1 in the league. But you know, that game obviously coming up is going to be so crucial between the two. But in terms of Leanne Ross, as Vinny's touched on to throw him under the bus, I wonder if Leanne Ross, is it going to be too much managing a team like Glasgow City and being an assistant to Pedro Martinez-Loza at the same time? It might be a case of she might need to sacrifice the national team. From your eyes, you know, how do you see it?
It's one of those tricky ones, isn't it? You're gaining more experience by working the national team as well. But you're kind of spreading yourself out a bit. It's one that I don't know too much about to comment, because I'm quite new to, and feel quite guilty in saying so, but when I went on to Axum, I was pushing out there for more people to watch the women's game, including myself. So I'm quite new to it all and trying to learn about all the managers and all the teams. So I'm just like hearing the rumours and listening to you guys. But I think any manager that's maybe distracted between two jobs is never going to be healthy. So, and especially if it's shown in the results. And I think with City, if they don't win against Celtic, it's going to be a real, real marathon for them if they want to try and win the title. But you never know how it's going to go.
Yeah, there's certainly still a long way to go. I mean, we're exactly halfway through the season, so you know, anything can happen in these next 16 games coming up. So in terms of the title race, whilst we can't rule City out, it is looking more likely to be a two-horse race. Now, Rangers have only dropped the 2 points this season, which were against City. Celtic have obviously lost that game to Rangers earlier on and dropped points to Hearts just before the break as well. Jerry, I might as well stay with you with this one, because unfortunately for Celtic, there's been a change that Fran Alonso has left his position. He's going to Mexico. No, sorry, he's went to America, isn't he?
He's going to Houston, yeah. He's
going
to Houston.
He was linked to Mexico. I got confused on it there. Yeah, so he's went to Houston. It's a move that he quite simply couldn't turn down. You know, the American women's football is arguably the most prestigious league in world football. But you said this beforehand, you know Fran from your time from the your podcast. How torn was he on this decision?
Very torn. And to quote, it was the toughest decision of his life. So basically, there was a lot of rumours about Fran. I was lucky enough to meet him a few months ago and kind of get a deep dive interview with him in Celtic Park. And I've kept in touch with him since then. And I'll tell you something, there is no more, I've never seen as much passion in a man about Celtic that wasn't born in Scotland. He's everything about the club he loves. The people, the staff, the fans, the players. So it's like you said, it's a lot of money, but it's not just about the money for Fran. It was the opportunities. Has he taken Celtic as far as he can come? Who knows? He's not mentioned anything about what's happening behind the scenes. All I know is that it wasn't an easy decision for him, but he's keeping his house in Glasgow and he's keeping Scotland as his base. So he will return again. I think he'll always have Celtic in his heart, but it shows you that the biggest league in the world for the women's game, like the giants of the game just now, is America. And it just shows you how good a manager Fran Alonso has been. that they're coming to get him and they're willing to pay him what they're paying, because from what I'm hearing, it's astronomical compared to what he was getting at Celtic. That doesn't come from Fran, that comes from the rumours. He's going to be a huge loss, a huge, huge loss to the team. He took over the team in 2020 when they were still part-time. It was part of his, he wanted in his contract that would have to become full-time. The experience that the man's got, not just with the Women's League, but in the Men's League, working with likes of Ronald Koeman, Pochettino, he's going to be missed. I'll miss him as a pal, obviously, now, because I really like the guy. But I think it's going to be tough, tough boots to fill when it comes to Fran, and I'm sad. But then again, you've got to try and look at some positives. Maybe the team's going to do one big last push for him at the end because they know they're going to lose him, and who knows either. Maybe just cross over that line before you, hopefully.
Yeah, it'll still be an interesting title race. But I mean, did the summer? I mean, in the summer, Celtic lost a lot of really good players like Jacinta, etc. Did that have any bearing? Did that frustrate them as well? I mean, I know they brought in some good players as well, and they've carried on as normal from their cup win last season. But ultimately, their aim is to win the league, and they would have liked to get in the Champions League as well. Did that have any bearing as well? Is this just purely down to the fact it's MLS?
Well, no, I don't think the frustration at losing players had any bearing on them leaving, because I think he said to me in his interview that he'll have to get used to, he loses players and he's got to replace them, because that's a manager's job. And in any league, in any division in the world, that's going to happen. You're going to have to replace your best players, because it's your best players that are attracted to other clubs. So I think there was a lot of things. He was pushing for a lot. Fran wasn't about the money. When he was asking for assurances at Celtic, it was better training facilities, etc., which he was getting. He was getting all the assurances he wanted. And he also said that he was wanting more money for the women in the game. Now, I think that's a job that would take all the managers in the league to be pushing for, because all the teams have got to want to do it before. And one of them's not just going to do it on their own. So I don't know if he got what he wanted when it came to paying the women more. I doubt that. Whether it had a bearing on it, I'm not sure. But I also know there was an offer put in for him. So Celtic have accepted an offer for him. So it wasn't a case of Fran going to them. It was they offered Celtic first and Celtic let them speak. So, yeah, it's the toughest decision in his life. And he was really sad when I spoke to him. Excited for his new project, but he knows what he's leaving behind.
Yeah, and Eva, you're obviously a Rangers fan, but you keep an eye on what's going on elsewhere in the league. How big a loss is Fran Alonso going to be to the Scottish game? Because you know, whether you want Rangers to beat Celtic or not, you can't deny the guy's infectious character.
I know, absolutely, and I think Jerry's touched on it there. I think when the news came through, it was the reaction of the fans. You don't see it very often when a head coach or a manager goes, just the kind of love that obviously the fans have and the sadness for a coach going, and you can't deny the what he's done with Celtic over the last 4 years, where he's taken them to, you know, first ever time appearance in the Champions League, preliminary rounds anyway, and things like that. But the NWSL is huge, and you can't blame him for taking the opportunity. You know, we're talking about the calibre of head coaches over there, and it announced just this week that the Barcelona manager's heading over to Washington Spirit at the end of this season, and now we've obviously got Fran heading to Houston Dash, a team who have probably seen what he's done at Celtic, who've been struggling for the last decade and said, no, we want a bit of that, and absolutely, it's a huge opportunity for him. But I think there's no doubt, just from what I've seen and from what I've heard from, you know, friends who are Celtic fans, he is going to be a huge, huge loss to not just Celtic, but just the kind of community that is Scottish women's football, I think.
But as a total outsider to this title race, how much do you think this move will affect Celtic in the title race, or do you think they'll be able to attract somebody that can just keep on the good work that Fran's done?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't be surprised if they just run with David Haley taking charge until the summer, and then getting appointing someone in the summer. I believe some of the coaching staff that Fran has brought in will be staying. Obviously, David Haley was the manager or head coach before Fran, so it's not totally alien to him. And he's been there throughout Fran's stay. I believe the coaching staff who Fran brought in, lots of them are staying as well. So there's consistency there. So I'm not sure how big an impact it'll have. I mean, both Jerry and Eva sort of highlighted. I mean, the guy's box office. He's such an infectious character. He was just a lovely, lovely guy. He always had time for everybody. He'll be missed. But I would imagine Celtic can keep going. I don't think it'll let it affect them the way it's happened. It's all been very amicable as well. So. They'll power on. I think they'll feel his loss, but like you said, Jerry, Celtic's in his heart, and I'm sure it'll be the other way around. The spirit of Fran lives on.
I think, to be fair, he's not going to forget Celtic anytime soon, given his tweet after the men's team's victory in the New Year Derby. I think Celtic will remain in his blood. I think that's for sure. In terms of the Telrys Rangers, obviously, as we mentioned before, top of the league by 3 points. Eva, just dropping the 2 points all season. And no, Jo Potter, she's also come up from England. An experience in terms of managerial at this level, but you know, She's taking the team on, and they seem to be getting better every week, and they seem to be scoring more goals because they're catching up with Celtic in terms of the goals scored as well. Not that it's important right now, because the most important thing is in front. You know, how would you assess the job she's done? Because Malky Thompson did a reasonably good job before that, because he won a couple of trophies.
Yeah, I think when you look at last season, I think, you know, we saw it get incredibly close and we thought this is a good Rangers squad. But I think what Joe Potter's done is, I think a lot of people were, you know, a bit, you know, hesitant of some of the changes she was making. It was completely different for a lot of the players, some of the formations and some of the people she was bringing in. But no, it's turned out amazingly. I think she's done a tremendous job. You know, some players like, you know, Rio Hardy's still, you know, a top scorer in the league currently. You know, Sarah Ewan's back off injury. Libby Bance on loan, people like that. They've really fit into the squad really well, and I think she's brought the fans with her too. I think everyone's pretty happy with what Joe Potter's done with the team, and I think it's looking incredibly positive for the league at present. Unbeaten, we can't ask for anything better. Going into the next part of the league.
Yeah, obviously it's a long way from being done, and you know, the head-to-heads, you know. We say that they're going to be crucial. Although last season with Celtic and Rangers, it was dead even. They drew twice with each other and beat each other once in the games that played at Airdrie. Rangers obviously have that advantage this year. Jerry goes without saying, I know there's the League Cup tie coming up, which we'll touch on shortly, but how crucial is it that Celtic get the win at, likely going to be Broadwood this the next time that they play it?
They've got to. I mean, a loss, it's just gonna make them feel like the other team feel like giants, really, isn't it? They've got to kind of. They've not been wounded yet this season, like you say. And a win, it's key, and to get that momentum going into that last part of the season. So I think they can do it. It all depends on if the players. I wouldn't say down tools, but you're. A bit of sadness at Fran leaving. I mean, it could affect them. And also, you can be distracted thinking, well, what manager's going to come in? You'll get some players who'll go, right, I need to keep playing as well as I can because this new manager might be watching whoever's coming in. Or some could accidentally, subconsciously down tools. You never know. I'm hoping it's going to put a spark into the team and they're going to, let's do this for Fran type mentality. Not that I think that's what they need to win the league, but it can always help if you've got that extra spark. But it is crucial that they win the next game against them because, like I say, it's just going to give them the upper hand, give them that extra confidence, not that they're lacking any just now. So fingers crossed for my side, for my selfishness, that we get a good win. I was at the last one and it wasn't the best of games. Was it the last one? Wasn't about 2 months ago I was there in a... We didn't play the best again. I don't think either team played great that day. So you can never tell with these games, can you? Form always goes out the window as well.
Yeah, it'll certainly be interesting to see how that game goes. Vinny, you're an outsider, obviously, to this title race. But in terms of the job that Joe Potter's been doing, what have you made of her impact? And as we say before, she seems to be getting because they lost Sam Kerr at the start of the season, which was a huge loss. But they've changed the formation as well, and it seems to have brought the best out of players like Rachel McLaughlin, who seems to be doing well going forward.
Yeah, I think what Joe Potter's done has brought a different dynamic of professionalism to not just Rangers, but sort of highlighting where the league's going generally. I've obviously speak very highly of what Brian Graham does. I just think there's a lot of up-and-coming managers in both the men's and women's leagues who, you know, are, you know, very, very in touch with what players need. Whereas, you know, traditionally you would have coaches, managers who'd be quite hard on players, wanting the best out of them, and almost you'd have people raising their game to prove their coaches wrong and whatnot. Whereas I think what Joe Potter's done is just she knows exactly what it is that players need, what players want. And, you know, it's, you know, that level of understanding of them as humans and responding to that, I think it's just a really nice breath of fresh air. Fran was obviously, you know, very, you know, very much about the players as humans and probably a bit more naive tactically, whereas Joe Potter's got that phenomenal, you know, record as a player. So she's coming in at a really good time. I think it's a great opportunity for her to cut her teeth as a coach, and we'll see where her career takes her. But yeah, really impressed with what she's done at Rangers so far.
Yeah, she's settled in very well. And Vinny, whilst you're on a roll just now, we're also moving to the next part of the top six. So a real interesting battle to see who's going to finish best of the rest. And I'm going to be honest, I don't see that top six changing in terms of the teams in it. I don't think Aberdeen and Motherwell are going to catch Partick at this stage, or Hearts. But a nice little battle between Hibs, Hearts and Thistle. There's only 2 points separating them. Vinny, once again, from your own perspective, being a Partick Thistle fan, they're part-time up against Hearts and Hibs, who have the hybrid full-time models. And they're only, let's say, 2 points behind Hibs and 11 points for Hearts. And in a League Cup semi-final, you know, you just run out of superlatives for the job that Brian Graham's doing for that team, given the fact that he's a player as well for, obviously, the men's team.
He is. And I know we had a chat about how he'd recently signed a new player contract with the men's team, probably seeing him through the end of his career. I think that's quite indicative of him not wanting to leave Thistle, not quite ready to leave the manager's post for the women's team. He's great. I mean, I just highlighted it there in terms of what he offers us. Obviously, our players are all part-time. They've all almost all of them got day jobs. And he totally understands that. He's very flexible. He's spoken a lot about recruitment and trying to get better players in and just to lift the standard at training each week. I mean, we've just signed Carla Boyce and Rebecca McAllister from, who was, you know, most recently at Hearts. These are two phenomenal players who have had, you know, international recognition throughout their careers. You know, Carla Boyce has fallen out of that category the last couple of years, but she was capped at many levels at youth. Rebecca McAllister, obviously involved in the Scotland setup more recently. But these are the kind of players that Thistle are now attracting because they're building up a reputation. Hibs and Hearts are where we want to be, I would say, in terms of that hybrid model. But I think you just said it. There's just hardly any point separating us at the moment. We did really well to finish sixth last year, and all the chat at the Player of the Year Awards night we had back in the summer. And, you know, as soon as this season started was, no, we want to try and split the Edinburgh teams or even finish above them. And, okay, we had a great result through Meadowbank earlier this season, deserved it. Hibs, I think, are really coming on to a game now. So we've got a semi-final against them in a couple of weeks, which should be a great game. And we had a really disappointing, or two really disappointing games against Hearts recently, although the most recent one at Peters Hill, no one's seen the disallowed goal that we had that would have made it 2-2. Just unbelievable. So we're maybe a wee bit more unlucky, but ultimately disappointing results. But, you know, we're competing. We're going toe-to-toe with these teams, which is great to see. I think, yeah, I would agree with you, John, that the top six is more or less done or dusted, save for a complete capitulation from somebody or an incredible run from somebody in the bottom half of the table. But I think what would really make our season is getting points off one of the big three and having a say in the title race. I think that would be huge for us this year and a sign of good progression.
Yeah, definitely would. And either, you know, as I say, there's a good battle going on there. Grant Scott has come back to Hibs, was probably someone that they needed, and it took a wee bit of time for them to get going. But, you know, they're sitting in a semi-final and they've probably, I'm crucial from their point of view, two wins against the Jam Taps as well, which would endear them. And Hearts, you know, have they stepped back a wee bit from last season, but they've still managed to take points off Celtic and Glasgow City, so they're still doing all right, and it's a real intriguing battle for that fourth place.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I think you're right that I don't think it will change. I think that's what we'll find in the fourth, fifth, and sixth position, and I think they've all kind of had almost a mixed bag of results, like you say. They've had a couple of really good ones against the top three, and getting points off them will be crucial. And maybe that's what it'll come down to. If they get a few surprise results, here or there. But you know, you talked about Partick Thistle there too, and I think we spoke about it before in this kind of podcast. I think they've been a real success story of Scottish women's football. Just seeing where they were, you know, 2 or 3 years ago to where they are now. I think Brian Graham's done a phenomenal job, and I think it'd be amazing if they were able to hold on to that kind of fourth place and you know, split the, as Vinny was saying, kind of split the Edinburgh teams who are up and down, to be honest with you. I think you're right about Grant Scott. Grant Scott seems to have turned Hibs around quite a bit, but it'll be crucial in the second part of the kind of season of where they end up, and if they can get any more, like I said, like it was seen, if they can get a few more of those kind of surprise points off people or surprise results. But yeah, it'll be an interesting battle, but I think Aberdeen are out of that top half anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we'll also touch on the bottom six shortly, but yeah, I think Aberdeen's results just before the the winter break there, have put pay to any hope they had of finishing in top six, especially that defeat to Partick at home. So there you go, Vinny. I mentioned it before you did. Jerry, in terms of how you see, I know that you're fairly new to watching the women's game and you're being interested in Celtic, but when you look at Hibs, Hearts and Thistle in that battle, and also from a Hibs and Hearts perspective, they're teams who have long-term ambitions to try and make a third or fourth challenge to Celtic, Rangers and City. You know, what's your, is that something that you could see happening long term if they get the right investment?
If anyone gets the right investment, of course, yeah. But because I'm new to all this, I've not got a clue. So I'm not even going to lie. I think anyone that gets the right investment, I think more support for the game, first and foremost, isn't it? It's trying to grow the support for the game, because I was so guilty of just not supporting the women's game, not for any other reasons, just because I was so engrossed with the men's game. But it took me to actually go to one and get hooked into it. And what I would say to everyone that when I was on Axum was, it doesn't matter who's wearing the shirt, it's Celtic that you're supporting. And I'm sure that goes for Rangers, Glasgow City, and all that. Well, Glasgow City. Has Glasgow City got a men's team? No.
No.
Well, the thing. So, see, new to this, I'd never even heard of Glasgow City until last year. So, like I say, what I'm doing this year and next year is try and promote it as much as I can on the Axum podcast and amongst my friends, and try and get more guys to go along and promote it as well. And that kind of gets more families into it. What I loved was the family occasion. Not occasion, but just the great atmosphere that was up there, especially those players were like superheroes to the kids. I mean, especially given the pink hair band into the crowd and all that stuff. So, first and foremost, none of these teams can grow until they get the support, because no one's going to throw the money at them until they're getting the fans paying as well. So, I hope so. I hope we build the game, and I'll do as much to support it as I can as well. But right now, I'm useless when it comes to comment on some of these things, unless it's Fran Alonso. What I will say is, if you can check out the deep dive interview with Fran Alonso on how he got how he got over here, without speaking any English, and just his journey. It's a great, great interview to watch. It's on the Celtic State of Mind YouTube channel. So if you can have a watch, I promise I'm going to do as much as I can to support the women's game as a whole, not just Celtic. So my battery's about to go on this, by the way, just to let you know. So I'm not wanting to cut you off while I'm mid-talk. So if I take myself out of it now, and just want to say thanks for having me on, guys, and educating me a bit as well.
Thanks very much, Jay. It's been a pleasure having you on. You go save your battery, and we'll continue the women's chat. And well done for getting into the women's game, and long may it continue for you.
Thanks, guys. Nice to meet you all, and I appreciate you having me on.
Right, so Jerry has left the building, so we'll continue our discussion. So, as I said, there's games happening this weekend, but then next weekend is the Sky Sports Cup semi-final. So, since we've started talking about the four teams that are in there, might as well continue with that and discuss very briefly the semi-finals before we go back to league business. So, next Friday, the 19th, it's Celtic versus Rangers at the Excelsior, and then on the Sunday it's Partick Thistle versus Hibs at Peter's Hill. Eva, how do you see the two games going?
I think especially the Rangers Celtic one to start with, I think it'll be interesting. We were obviously discussing there about the last time Rangers and Celtic played in the league at the Excelsior a couple of months ago, and Rangers won that one. But you could potentially be looking at a different, you know, Rangers team anyway. You know, Kirsty Howitt's out, still out with injury. We reckon she'll be out till about I think she was saying March or April. She played quite a big part in the last match. So a really solid player that we're going to be without. But on the positive, you know, people like we think Kathy Hill's now back. Jane Ross has obviously had a tremendous restart to after injury. So that could be interesting. And then you've obviously got Celtic who are continuing this kind of dominance with players like Amy Gallagher and Caitlin Hayes. So I think it'd be a really interesting matchup. I think it could potentially be very different to the last time they played. And I think both teams will be kind of out. You know, be out there obviously trying to reach the final, but obviously the kind of pressure that comes with any kind of Old Firm match. I think the similar could be with the Hibs and Partick Thistle match. Obviously it's not the league, it's the cup, but they'll still be out to show that they can, you know, they can win and they can reach that final. It'll be, you know, a good opportunity for the two teams to kind of show their worth. And we've talked already about Partick Thistle having their two new recruits, their two new signings. Again, could be an opportunity for them to kind of show their worth too. But no, I think two really interesting matchups. Whatever way it goes, it'll be a really interesting final as well. I think it'll be really good. It could be interesting. I'm looking forward to watching them both.
Yeah, there should be two terrific semifinals. And Vinny, obviously you'll be excited because. First time Partick have been in the League Cup semi-final. I know they won the Scottish Cup semi-finals a couple of seasons ago. Hibs have obviously won this competition numerous times. We're in the final last season, so there's no question it's going to be a tall order. But it would be so good for one of those sides to reach a cup final and potential winner. From your point of view, how excited are you for this semi-final?
Yeah, incredibly, like you said, when we got to the Scottish Cup semi-final a couple of seasons ago, it was just a great occasion through at the Falkirk Stadium. You know, for that period in Thistle's history, it was a decent crowd that came through and whatnot. There's chat of a really big crowd getting up to Peter's Hill on the 21st, so very excited about that. I'm sure Hibs will bring a good support through for it. So it'll be a great occasion, regardless of what happens. Really disappointed though in the scheduling of the final. You know, should Thistle get there, Thistle Men's have got it's the international break, but Thistle Men have got a way tie to Arbroath that day, and it's a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday at Tynecastle. So you know, Brian Graham's like a player for the men's. So we would be down, our manager would be down a significant amount of support. Sure, understand that our growth away is a favoured away day for a lot of fans. So really, really disappointing that that's been scheduled for then. real short-sightedness. And of course, the conspiracy theorists have got their tinfoil hats on, saying they just don't want Thistle getting to the final. You know, that's Edinburgh bias.
Well, Fiona McIntyre no listens to these podcasts, and we'll see what happens in the event of Thistle getting through. I mean, I don't know, maybe the SWPL, SPFL will reschedule our roast game for Friday night. Maybe BBC Scotland will pick that up as the Friday night game to let Brian Graham play against Arbroath and then go down to Edinburgh for the final the next day. Never know. We'll wait and see what happens.
I think you've sorted it. That's it. Get onto Fiona and Co and we'll get that arranged. Thanks.
No worries, but make sure your girls do the job first, but it is going to be a tough game. Right, so we're moving on to the sides in the bottom six. I'll go skim over these quickly. I think looking at the table, Aberdeen and Motherwell don't look as though they're going to be brought into a relegation battle anytime soon, but I think Aberdeen definitely needed that winter break to happen because they were starting to lose lots of goals. They were really short in numbers, and you know they've managed to recruit three players in the window so far, including a goalkeeper, which was necessary because the goalkeeper Aberdeen had on loan from Liverpool, Faye Kirby, did her ACL in October, so they've got someone else in now, Jenny Curry, her name is. So we'll wait and see how that affects things. And Motherwell, obviously, as Vinny touched on, lost Carla Boyce, their main goal scorer. So I think, Eva, it's fair to say that it's for Aberdeen, Motherwell, it's just about who finishes seventh.
Yeah, and I think you touched on it there. You know, Aberdeen needed that kind of reset almost to kind of get themselves together, because I think the end of 2023 was just not a good time. And for them, you mentioned they brought in Jenny Curry, who used to play for Hibs. They've brought in Lois Edwards and Kayleigh Bainfield as well. So, you know, just nobody in the forward position. But, you know, they've brought in some fresh legs there, some fresh talent, and I think that'll be good for them. It was interesting. I saw Clint Lancaster had done an article and recently last week about the kind of the divide in the league just now, and as we were talking earlier about that, the difference between the part-time, full-time and professional, and how that's kind of impacting the league. And I think when we talk especially about the kind of bottom bit of the league or the bottom half of the league just now, the bottom half of the table even, you're really seeing that. You know, we know there's issues up and down the table, but especially at that bottom half where clubs really are struggling, even when they bring in new players. But no, I really do hope that I really do hope Aberdeen bounce back, almost get a few results and see the kind of benefit from that. But you were talking about Carla Boyce as well. We're talking about how that's a huge benefit for Partick Thistle. Absolutely, I think it's a great signing. But obviously Motherwell, it's going to be an even bigger struggle for them without Carla Boyce. It'll just be interesting to see if they alter anything formation wise, or if we see them bring anyone else in to kind of replace that position.
Yeah, Vinny, I mean, Motherwell obviously close to the top six last season, as you famously remember. You know, he had them in their head when Thistle got that place ahead of them. But in terms of that, Motherwell were a side that I thought would have pushed towards that top six a bit further this season. When you think of the quality they've got, we mentioned Boyce is obviously now gone, but you also think about players like Caleb McDonald and Gwa, Jill Ingalls, girls like that. You know, they're a really good team. Have they underachieved in some way? Aberdeen, I think, to be fair, are in a position that some people might have thought was higher than expected, given that they were ninth last season and they were transitioning to a new manager. But I think it's just as well they had that good start and that Bailey Hutchinson started on fire, because obviously, recently, as we say, it's went a wee bit south for them.
Yeah, and I think you just identified a few players there, and I think you see that in the bottom half of the table. You've got teams who have some real high quality individuals, but whether it's because they're part-time, they're not training together as much, and it's very, very difficult for the full commitment to be there when people have full-time jobs and then they've got to go to training at night and whatnot. But it's difficult for these really high quality players to properly shine the way that they might be able to, if everything was full time and if the finances were there and whatnot. So it's a real shame. I think we are fortunate that You know, the SWPL is proven to be a good place for players to shine and then get moves elsewhere. You know, that's happening already, and I really hope for some of these individuals that we've mentioned that that's the case. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, and Jerry said it as well, there's the only way things are going to improve is if, you know, is if crowds go up, finances improve, and we get, you know, a far more competitive league. Yeah, Motherwell, Aberdeen, these are teams that will be hoping to be challenging for that top six place over the next couple of seasons, and just kind of going through the motions a wee bit just now. But the, you know, there's a lot of quality in SWPL too, and I just wonder if we'll see quite, you know, with there being more exposure to that league, I wonder if we'll see a few players stepping up, maybe even in this January transfer window, and you know, getting a chance at a top flight club, and just try to push on a wee bit there, because I think that's going to be crucial for, you know, for teams like Aberdeen, Motherwell, Spartans, you know, even Hamilton, who are making good uses of loan signings, you know, just try to give players some more exposure, hoping to find a gem and someone that can maybe just inspire the rest of the team.
Yeah, definitely. You touched on Spartans there. Even we're about in an age where Debbie McAllister's not the manager, which doesn't sound right. You know, you just think Spartans, you think Debbie McAllister right away, and you know the incredible work she's done, but she's also taken her role. They were obviously close to top six as well, and their post-bit form last season was outstanding. They won 9 and drew one of their 10 games in that bottom six, but this season they've only won 2 games, and they've only scored 17 goals as well. Obviously, it's not been helped with the fact that Becky Galbraith had that horror injury up at Aberdeen, and people at Cat Smart retiring, but it's really surprising to see them down there. But are they a team that possibly you worry for in the next few years when you see clubs aligned to the more professional men's teams investing more money that Spartans probably don't have to improve them?
Yeah, I think when, you know, we had this kind of similar discussion on this podcast at the start of the season, and I fully expected the Spartans to have a much better you know, first half of the season than they have. And I think I also mentioned back then that I saw Spartans as almost like the next Partick Thistle. You know, you see where they were, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, and kind of make that kind of move in the same way that the Partick Thistle have, and it just hasn't happened. And I think you've touched on it really well. There is the case of if that money's not there, if the finance isn't there, or the ongoing investment that's not just ad hoc, then clubs will simply fall behind, you know. And I think that's sadly what's happened with Spartans, because they have had a couple of decent results, kind of showed a little glimmer of hope, but it's not worked out for them at all, and now they sit, you know, second bottom. So I don't know if they'll be able to turn it around, and I think we don't know who the new, unless it's came out in the last couple of days, we don't know who the new head coach is. I think they said they were going to wait until after the cup match at the weekend, so we'll see, or the match at the weekend, so we'll see what happens with that. But no, it's disappointing. It's actually it's sad to see how that's happened, because like you say, last season they had a phenomenal season, I would say, for them, and I really did see them kind of making the moves to progress and go forward, but it's just not happened.
In terms of the rest of the teams down there, so Dundee United and Montrose are both in 10 points. Dundee United were obviously going to find it difficult replacing Danny McGinley, and that's proven to be the case. She's also went on at Hearts, and Dundee United have only scored 15 goals this season. Montrose, it took them a wee bit of time to settle into the top flight, and obviously it wasn't helped with the fact that they were given Celtic on day one. But they've started picking up a couple of results recently. But Hamilton, I mean, I'm glad to say that there's no Glasgow Women case from last season. Obviously, Glasgow Women lost every single game, but Hamilton really are struggling, and we feared that they might be down there. And I think they're depending a lot on Josie Giard, but it's some battle down there. If any, is there still hope for Hamilton, or is it a case of if they don't get a win soon, then they're going to cast adrift?
Yes, it's not looking good for Hamilton, which is a shame, because, you know, friend of the podcast. Roberts, just always, he's so, such an infectious guy. He speaks so well. You know, about the women's game. He's a great advocate for the women's game. He's been around for a long time doing it. So it's a shame to see it happen. You never know. I mean, this league, although we spoke about maybe the lack of competition in certain games, but it continually throws up surprises, and it just takes someone to go on even a 2-3-4 game unbeaten run to just dramatically change the shape of that table at both ends. So yeah, you'd never say never for them. Nice to hear you giving some praise to Montrose as well. You know, really impressed with what they're doing in terms of their infrastructure, not just them getting to the top league, but the way that they're building as well, making good use of the whole northeast market up there, which is interesting. In Dundee United, yes, struggling for goals. Delighted to see Megan Robb go on loan from Thistle to Dundee United. If you've not seen Megan Robb play, just raw talent, just really, really exciting player. Someone as soon as she's on the ball, you want to see what she's going to do next. So she needs a run of game. She wasn't getting that at Thistle. So she will get it at Dundee United, I'm sure. She played most of the game on Sunday in the Cup and did quite well. I think she had an audacious attempt at goal that nearly went in as well, sort of back heel flip. Looked quite good. Really exciting player. So, I mean, again, just what I was saying earlier, lots of pockets of excellent players, really high quality play during games as well, but just not that consistency. But yeah, you wouldn't rule anyone going on a wee run just to put something together and put pressure on other teams.
Yeah, I think the key for Hamilton is staying in touch going into split, because there's 10 games after split. They play each other home and away. And even those 6 games coming up, I think they've got Montrose and Dundee United in that run. If they can pick up a couple of results, then who knows? You know, they're right back in it. It's certainly going to be an interesting few weeks. I'll just read out the fixtures that are happening this weekend for anyone who's interested and might want to go along. So, 1 o'clock at Ainslie Park, you've got Spartans versus Glasgow City. At 2 o'clock, the Excelsior live, and it's also live on BBC Sport. It's Celtic against Montrose. And then there's 3 batches of 4 o'clock kickoffs. Hamilton at home to Hibernian at the Sedalight Stadium. Motherwell at home to Hearts at the Cape Heart Training Academy at East Kilbride. And Rangers at home to Dundee United at Broadwood. And on BBC Alba at 4:10, there's a game between Partick Thistle and Aberdeen. So Vinny and I will not be talking on Sunday. anyone who is able to get along the game, try, because you'll get good entertainment from most of the games, I would think. As I've touched on at the start of the programme, we did have Scottish Cup weekend. I'm not going to go through all the results, etc., but I do want to read out the fourth round draw and get your respective thoughts on it. So we've got East Fife against Hearts, we've got Glasgow City against Hibs, which looks a tasty tie, Hamilton against Celtic, Livingston against Gap Cairn, who we cursed a year ago by interviewing their manager when they were top of the SWPL2, and they went in a downward turn since then, so apologies against them. Montrose against Stirling University, Partick at home to Queen's Park of Winning Red Rose, that was the only game that fell foul of the weather, Rangers against Dundee United, and Spartans against Aberdeen. Eva, what's your picks from that draw?
I think you touched on it there, but the most interesting one I think will be the Glasgow City Hibs one. I think that's the one it's got the most competitive out of them. I don't want to rule any team out of them. But I think when you look at how it's been drawn, I think we can kind of predict who's going to win out the rest of them. We might not, like I say, we've had some surprise results across the board. But I think the Glasgow City Hibs one will be interesting out of them all. But yeah, and we've obviously got Rangers Dundee United in the league this weekend. So maybe that'll be a precursor to what will happen at the next stage of the cup as well, but no, it'll be interesting. But Glasgow City Hibs is definitely the one to watch, I think.
And Vinny, from your point of view, I mean, obviously we know Thistle will get a home tie, but I mean, from my point of view, looking at it, I think the next closest tie you're looking at is probably Spartans versus Aberdeen. As we say,
that was the one. Sorry, John, I was just going to say that was the one I was going to highlight. I think it's exciting for any team to get a wee cup run together, and it could work either way in terms of league form. It could either, you know, give you more momentum and spur you on a wee bit, or become a bit of a distraction. So I think that will be a really interesting game. It's probably one of the more evenly matched games. You know, Eva saying the Hibs City one is probably on that level as well. So it'll be interesting to see that one. And I think a wee cup run for either of those teams would be good. For us, obviously, Queen's Park have got to get through their tie, but you would imagine they will, judging on, you know, league form and whatnot. And I think I'm really excited to see Ellie Kane, obviously scoring for fun in SWPL too. Speaking to one of my colleagues at Partick Thistle, described that potential tie as a banana skin, I think, just to see how well Queen's Park are doing at the moment. So that really interesting. Like you said, Eva, there's a lot of ties there. You would certainly predict the winners of them and see how the next round is forming already. But yeah, a couple of interesting ones there.
Yeah, Queen's Park obviously look as though they're going to romp to SWPL2 at the moment. Don't want to curse them too much. Well, we haven't asked Craig Joyce on yet. He's been on before, but he worked. You saw what he did at Glasgow Women, getting them up, which I thought in that season was probably the biggest story of the season, the miracle story. I mean, he's done a fantastic job, and obviously he's went to Queen's Park and is doing something similar. So if Queen's Park do go up, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on in the top flight, but I think he could do quite well. So shout out to Craig. We'll end this. Although the Scotland Women's National Team don't have any games coming up soon, we do need to highlight that since we were last on, unfortunately, we did fall into Nations League B, following the draw against Belgium. We had to win that game. But the game against England... Now, we knew it was going to be difficult coming up against an England side that needed goals to win the group and stuff, but to go down 6-0 in the way it happened, it was a horrible night in front of a record crowd for a competitive game. Must stress, it's for the competitive game. Obviously, hasn't hit the Jamaica Heights yet. And I was in the press conference after the game for the Tatnam magazine, and Pedro got quite a grill. I'd never seen it in the women's game. A manager getting such a grilling from journalists after the game. And Eva, I'll come obviously to you first. I mean, Pedro Martinez Loza, obviously, he got that extension of the contract, which a lot of people thought was a bit premature. Do you think he's under pressure to deliver for the Euro qualifiers, by the way, the draw of which is the 5th of March, I found out from an SFA contact today. But he has to deliver these Euros now to justify that contract.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think a lot of people, including myself, thought it quite strange that he, you know, got a contract extension till 2027 before the end of the Nations League kind of campaign. I think, don't think any of us were any under illusion how difficult that Group A was. I think we knew it was going to be difficult to get a result against any of the teams that we were up against, you know, England, Netherlands or Belgium. So I think even going into it, we knew that was going to be a challenge. But despite that, to get a new deal until 2027, on the run that we had up until then, and obviously now the pressure's on for him to deliver. And okay, hopefully we do get, you know, a friendly group, or a group that we can actually compete in, because I think we were lucky to get to Group A, where it was a good experience for us on paper. But there's no way we can compete at that level right now. So and I get that, you know, Scotland Women's National Team is growing. We are getting to that stage. We've had some horrific injuries recently that have just, you know, knocked us sideways. But yeah, absolutely, the pressure's on Pedro to kind of deliver. And I'm looking forward to the Euro qualifiers campaign. I'm hopeful for the team. But yeah, the pressure's on for Pedro to deliver it and get us there, I think.
Yeah, Vinny, I'm looking at the Euro qualifiers path, and I've said this before, I don't know why they try and complicate things for the women's game. We saw what it was like the last World Cup, trying to work that out. This one is just as bad. So obviously, as far as I'm aware, the eight teams that won, that finished one and two in the four A League sections, have all qualified for the Euros. But then it's like three and four, and then it's like, from League A, and then one, two, and three in League B, and I think there's some Nations League C teams all then go into a knockout phase, and then there's like two knockout rounds, of which seven qualify. It's mental to try to work out. So, as I say, we'll know on the 5th of March who Scotland will get. What chance do you give us? What chance do you give us of getting through? And how important is it we get another friendly in before those these qualifiers that are happening, we believe, in spring and autumn this year?
Yeah, so 2 points there. Eva, thank you for that dose of optimism and some reality there as well, because I think I was just so utterly miserable. But you're absolutely right. There are aspects that stop us from competing at that top level. I just get frustrated when I see the genuine world-class talent in the squad, and how we're just not able to produce what we're maybe capable of on the pitch. But you are right. It's, you know, things are still early on. There are countries that are miles ahead of us in terms of our league and whatnot. So yeah, I think you're right. Maybe League B is the right place for us just now. So thank you for that. You've calmed me down a wee bit. I've been in a rage since that Ireland game. So thank you for that. Yeah, John. So I think friendlies. I think we just need to, you know, for whatever reason, you know, I've maybe been quite, vocal and my thoughts about Pedro, and to be honest, I think that contract was just reward and failure. I think, okay, we're maybe, as you said, even not at that top tier level yet, but even the Austria game in those playoffs was horrible. It was an absolutely awful game. We didn't really deserve to win it. And then the Ireland game, yes, you could say if Caroline Weir converts that early penalty, we could have gone on to win 3-4, 5-0, because they're not a great team. You know, speaking about our own league, but also look at that Ireland team, a couple of really phenomenal players, but not a great team. And we saw what they did at the World Cup, or didn't do. So they were there for the taking. So that was really frustrating. And I think that was the point when he should have gone. However, he's not gone, and we're there. I think a couple of friendlies to just even get this team to become more of a unit. One thing I will say about Pedro Martinez Losa is that he has, you know, brought through a few players. You know, Emma Watson is been brought into that. That's a brave move by any manager to bring, well, I think she was 17 when she made her debut, to bring someone so young into the first team. Obviously, I'm going to say it wrong. It's not McKeever. She likes McIver, doesn't she?
It's McKeever. Yeah. We were told that by SFA. We were told that's that fine. By SFA employers before that game against the Netherlands.
Because Thistle Men had a player called Ross McKeever, and everyone called him McIver, and I always remembered that. So I couldn't remember which way round it was. But you know, obviously bringing players like that through, you know, who are on the cusp of, you know, have played for England at a youth level and whatnot. So there's some signs of progression there, but I think we definitely need time just to settle down, you know, and we're there. I was being negative again there, Eva. I was nearly say stuck with Pedro. But if this is what we're dealing with over the next few years, then we need to build upon it. And I think friendlies are the way forward for that, just to get some training camps together, build that unity of the team, and hopefully have a really positive qualifying campaign. But with regard to the actual campaign itself, John, I'll just message you after every game saying, have we qualified yet? Because there's no way I'm understanding that.
Well, if it's a knockout tie, it's just a case of finding who we're getting. Surely if we win, we're through. But where I will defend Pedro a wee bit is that any manager would find it difficult to be without four of your best players at the one time. You know, we were without Emma Watson did her ACL right before the first game against England. Caroline Weir does her ACL in that game against Belgium. Evan Cuthbert was already out and missed the first three games and was half fit for the Netherlands game. And then you had Sam Kerr missing for the two Dutch games as well. And she's turned into an integral player for us in that holding midfield role. You know, we went a couple of years without replacing Leanne Creighton, and then she comes along and does well. So that is difficult. But yeah, there was some strange selections, but we've just got to hope that what we need is a goal scorer. You just wonder, I know Jane Ross is back, but is she going to get to that on a national level? We hope so. We'll just need to wait and see how she does. But we'll end this podcast in a bit of a positive and ask the question, are Scotland qualifying for Euro 2025?
Yeah, I'll say they are. Yeah, I think so. I need to be the positive one. I'll be saying, yeah. Although I did say we were going to beat or draw with England, so maybe don't take my word for it. But I'll say yeah. We need to have the belief that we're going to get there, because we do have the squad to get there. It's just, you know, it's just as Vinny said, trying to make things click, I think, and giving that the squad time together to actually be able to do that, because we have the players to get there. There's no doubt about that.
And I'll go for it as well. Oh God, it's the hope that kills you, isn't it? We'll get there. But with a Cara Henderson hat trick in the final game to get us through. There we go.
Well, there's hope for optimism. Scotland qualifying and someone from Partick Thistle scoring the goals. Yeah. See if we can write a wee novel about that. Anyway, Eva, Vinny, and also Jed Erler, thank you very much for your time for previewing the SWPL comeback this weekend, and also for looking ahead to the Sky Sports Cup semi-finals, the Scottish Cup fourth round draw, and the Scotland Women's National Team. We've done well to cram this all into an hour. So thanks so much, guys, and thanks to everyone for listening. Happy football.